My wife and I are from the Wildwood Baptist Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And I trusted the Lord as a teenager. I was 19 years old and trying to become rich and famous and popular in a rock and roll band. And a preacher's daughter witnessed to me. I asked her to a dance and she showed me that I needed to be saved and never did tell me why she wouldn't go to the dance. But anyway, I trusted the Lord as my Savior, and God has done marvelous things with this poor old sinner. But a little while later, I finally got old enough and smart enough to pray for a wife instead of helping God find one. And the Lord gave me my wife, Ellen, and we had five children that lived, and then two little babies that are in heaven we'd never met. But they're all married, and they all have at least two children, and they live in New York and Kentucky and Tennessee and Wisconsin. But we got married. She asked me if I was still playing in the rock and roll band when she saw me. She was a checkout girl at a grocery store at night. And I said, no, and I'll come tell you about it. And I found another person that knew her, and we went over there and gave her the gospel. She did not trust the Lord that night, but or while we were there, but after we left. And I told her, next time I talk to you, I'm going to ask if you settled this matter with God. And she said she had. And then God hit me over the head with a 2x4 or something like that, and we ended up getting married. But if there are spiritual 2x4s, that's what I got. But anyway, I am glad. Sometimes teenagers say, do you ever wish, don't you wish you were back in that rock and roll band? Only in my nightmares. The Lord has given me such a wonderful life and allowed me to be in a ministry of music, and I'm just thrilled with that. Now, I'm getting older. I'm likely to forget, you know, what I'm trying to tell you, but we got a handout sheet for Sunday school class. I get tired, but I never get tired of speaking about the Savior and preaching from the Bible. We're going to just begin in James 1 and verse 17. James 1:17. Music is a gift, you know. It's a gift from God, and the way God intended it to be, it would be a blessing to mankind. But because of sin, everything in this world has been twisted. Everything in this world has been perverted. For instance, love is from God. God is love. But man, because of his sin, has twisted it and it becomes lust. And it's no longer holy, it's no longer pure, it's no longer good. And there are many such things. Music is one of those in this life that would be good the way God gave it, but man has twisted it and perverted it. You, young people especially, need to understand, and we'll say some more things at the 6 o'clock hour, or 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. The 6 o'clock hour about music. But America has been here almost 400 years, and the first 300 years were spent without any kind of modern dance music in our nation. And it's been the last 100 years that everything has been falling apart, first little by little, and then in my generation, things just snowballed into terrible things. But we hope to cover some of that at 6 o'clock and maybe have time for questions and be a little informal. But James 1:17, let's read it and pray. And I know this handout sheet that the men have for you says the importance of music, but we want to talk about the gift of music. The points and the references will be pretty much the same. And just so that I can fly over it and finish on time, we thought we'd hand that out. But let's read James 1:17 together and out loud, if you would, with me. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we'll pray in a moment, but that reminds us that our God does not change. And I'm glad he does not. His, if we can call them standards, his commandments, his standards of holiness and godliness, and for music, would not be any different than they were when they sang in heaven after God's creation. But let's pray. Dear Father, make this message be everything it can be in the time that we have. For those who've gathered here, may they not be disappointed. May they hear from thy word, hear from heaven, something practical, something helpful that would guide them and help steer them in this world that's just filled with corrupt things. Lord, we know there are good things from Thee. Help us to enjoy them and to praise Thee for it, and help us to stay away from and veer away from those things that would not be of faith, that would be sin. And so, dear Father, give me Holy Spirit power. Lead me through this Sunday school message. We'll thank Thee and praise Thee for the gifts that Thou dost give, most of all Thy wonderful salvation. Help us to rightly praise Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Music is a gift from God. There was music in heaven before there was ever man on the earth. And we'll look at that right away. In Job chapter 38, Job was asked a number of questions from God. And this is the first point already. We just have to get going or we won't get through it. But to help him understand that God was God and he was just Job. He justified himself in all of his troubles and sorrows and miseries. He justified himself rather than God, and that was his problem. But we want to take a look in chapter 38. It mentions something about creation and what took place. If I ever will get there. When God created the heavens and earth, he saw what? That it was good. He said that it was very good in one place. But while God was asking Job questions, he asked him a question about this earth. And I'll begin with verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Well, we know God did these things, but he's kind of letting Job know he's not as smart as he thought he was. We don't know the answers to a lot of these questions in the book of Job. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? There's nobody that knows yet but God. Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? And then he mentions what took place when he was making the heavens and the earth, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's what took place at heaven. They saw what God did and they praised him for being the great creator. And these beings were singing. You say, well, were those morning stars really the stars singing together? Well, someone told me there are machines that can pick up electronic impulses from the stars that, as we see them and know them. And it actually makes a heavenly or an ethereal music. I've never heard it. There's supposed to be an old LP album. Sort of like a CD, only a lot bigger, but anyway. And you drop a needle on it to get the sound out, and there's sound on both sides. It's true, I didn't make it up. But I'm still looking for that. I don't know the name of it, but it's the music of the stars. And we know in the Bible that stars often represent angels. And maybe it was the morning angels. Well, we know they sing too. They sang at Jesus' birth. But it says that they sang together and all the sons of God, every other creature that God made that was in heaven before man, says they shouted for joy. Do you know when God does something, it's worth singing about and it's worth shouting about. And God gave us good music that we might rejoice. We're to rejoice in the Lord always. Do you know what this world is filled with? And you can see the little brackets on the handout sheet. This world is filled with all kinds of sorrows. I keep telling my wife and all the people around me, I'm going to preach a message on life's sorrows. There are all kinds of things that can make the heart sad in this world. Only the Lord can give joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. People are all over. They're all looking to be happy. Except for a few strange people that are looking to be rich and a few other stranger people that are looking to be powerful. And really, they're looking to be rich and powerful so that they can be happy. They think that's what's going to make them happy, and it will not. And they strive to find out how to be happy, and they can't get there. We came sorrowing to the Lord Jesus sad that we were a sinner, sad that we had been so disobedient and been against God. And when we trusted Him, He gave us joy. Matter of fact, He gave us happiness too. And they're maybe not exactly the same, but I know there's a verse in the Bible that says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And so He gave us joy and He gave us happiness and He gave us good music that we might rejoice in Him. As they did when they sang at creation. Joy to counter this world's sorrow. We see number two there. God gave us the gift of music to help us be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's a command in Ephesians chapter 6. Do you know what Moses said? And you can see the reference there in Exodus 15. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He sang that after they crossed the Red Sea and watched God drown Pharaoh and all the army and the horses and chariots. Isaiah in the 12th chapter of his book said, the Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. And David said it in the Psalms, the Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. Nehemiah knew it. He said, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you and I do not learn how to rejoice in the Lord, if we do not find God's new song that causes us to rejoice, we'll not be a strong Christian. We'll not be victorious. We'll not be what we ought to be. We need to learn to rejoice in the Lord. Do you know, Jesus quoted from Psalm 8:2 one time. He was talking about His music. In Psalms, it says that God ordained strength. In Matthew, He said, thou hast perfected praise. The two verses don't read the same, but the one in Matthew is a reference to the one in Psalms. Perfected praise God has ordained to help bring us strength. When we sing without doubting, we sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. We know we're not looking for somebody else. Somebody asked me one time years ago, they said, well, aren't you on a quest for knowledge? And I said, well, yes, I am. Well, why are you stuck in the Bible? And I said, when you find the gold, you don't look for lead and tin. I said, I still have questions. I'm still on a quest for knowledge, but I asked them of Jesus. I know who to ask them of. I found the way, the truth, and the life, and I don't need to go on to something else and leave what I found that is true. Well, He didn't have an answer for that. But God has ordained that if we sing, and you know something takes place. We don't just sing the hymns because Pastor's not ready with his morning message yet. He's not ready at all today, are you? But when we sing the hymns, we find what it's good, it's pleasant, it's comely, like it says in the book of Psalms. It causes our heart to rejoice. It thrills us. Spiritually, it picks us up. And we leave the house of God better off than the way we came. Indeed, they sang 15 psalms up the steps of the temple before they ever got inside the Old Testament temple. We should read 15 chapters before we get to church. It might help some of us, wouldn't it? I won't say who. My wife might, though. Stay quiet. But number three, God gives us music for joy in a world of sorrow. He gives us the music of strength, and the devil goes about to weaken the nations. One of the ways to strengthen ourselves is to sing Bible truths. But number three tells us about this gift of music. It's a song of deliverance. That's what David said in Psalm 32 and verse 7. Thou compassest me about, surrounds us with songs of deliverance. And And so we sing them. Our God is able to deliver thee. Wonderful, happy song. And it's true. Why do we need deliverance? This is a world of bondage. We're in bondage just because we're sinners. We're afraid to die because we're sinners. In fear of bondage all of our life until we come to Jesus for his salvation. People don't even want to talk about death. You say, well, what kind of deliverance does God give? What kind of songs of deliverance does he give? And you can see the references there. In Exodus 15, they escaped their worldly enemies. But how about in Joshua 6? God told them to take the city of Jericho, and they couldn't because of the fortified walls. And they marched around that city, and on the seventh day, they blew some trumpets. You say, well, what did they play? Joshua fit the battle. It's in the Hebrew there somewhere. But they blew trumpets, and what happened? Those walls fell down flat. God can give us songs that will defeat the obstacles that hinder us from doing what God wants us to do. How about the story of David and Saul in 1 Samuel 16? It doesn't say David ever sang a word, but he played the harp. You see, the Spirit of the Lord was with him. And it made a difference in the music. And when he played, Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Saul had all kinds of personal problems. The biggest problem was he wanted to do things his way. He thought it was better to sacrifice what he wanted to sacrifice instead of simply obeying God. And he had that problem all of his life. But when David played the harp, Saul was soothed. He was soothed in spirit and in soul and in body. Music is a triple attack on the body or on the person that we are. It attacks our thoughts, our emotions, and our body. That music is made up of melody and harmony and rhythm. Rhythm speaks to the body. Harmony speaks to the soul or to the heart. And melody speaks to the spirit. And we could spend 3 hours just talking about how that is so. But nevertheless, music can be a powerful thing for truth, but it can also be a great evil, because without us sometimes being aware of it, well, now I hope you are. But that music that we listen to will talk to our entire being. And we will either think right, love right, and do right, or we'll think wrong, love wrong, and do wrong. Songs of deliverance from our own personal problems and sins, failures, imaginations. And I think of Paul and Silas in the jail at Philippi. They prayed at midnight. You know, you don't sing to get rid of the blues. At midnight, it says Paul and Silas prayed and then sang praises. You turn everything over to God and then you'll be rejoicing. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. That's what it says in the book of James. And so they were singing after they prayed and turned it over to God. And while they sang, something happened. I suppose to the prisoners. We may even get to heaven and find out that later some of those prisoners trusted the Lord. But we know for sure the jailer did. And he was so thrilled with his salvation in God that he brought Paul and Silas out and took them to his house and said, tell my family. Amen. Songs of deliverance. I mean, the jail doors swung open, the bonds were loosed, and the jailer was saved. He was set free spiritually. Songs of deliverance. I mentioned that the praises of God are good and pleasant and comely. Do you know what you cannot do? If you're singing the praises of God, you can't be grumbling and complaining and fussing and whining and crabbing about all kinds of stuff. My wife learned that. We travel in that sardine can that's called a van. It's a sardine can. If I get out of sorts, this is just hypothetical, folks, but if I get out of sorts, everybody hears it. That's not that big of a place to be in, you know. About the drivers, about the weather, about everything. Just about whatever happened and what didn't happen. And my wife knows better than to argue with me. I've got more crooked ways to win an argument than anybody I know. But she'll start to hum when the air is a little tense. Yeah, I know the song. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? This is a man of God that sings and preaches about having the joy of the Lord. And pretty soon I'm kind of ashamed and embarrassed. And the next thing you know, I'm humming along. And I'm thinking, she knows this is a weapon and she's using it against me. It's more fun to grab about these things. And pretty soon teardrops are running down my eyes. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And then I'd, without turning all the way around while I'm driving, children, will you forgive your dad? Dad's wrong. Don't listen to me. Never mind what I said the last 15 minutes. And of course, they forgave me. And then I'd tell them I was sorry after that. But you know, it got rid of some bad attitudes. You can't sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. At the same time, you're trying to think about what's not gone right. You just can't. You can't sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul and have any kind of a bad attitude left inside. Songs of deliverance, boy, they work. They're real. Some folks have almost no Christian music or none at all. You know, there are times it's tense in the home, too. You don't live in that sardine can with wheels. But I don't mean all day long. Silence is wonderful, too, but you might want to tone your home with some Christian music and just leave it there playing and some of the thoughts of God be running through everybody's mind. There's a time for that. And it might become a real valuable thing if it's not already in your home. There's some stories listed there and we'll probably not have time for them really, but Ira Sankey, I'll make the story short, was going to be shot in the head by a Confederate soldier during the Civil War, and he was singing out on picket duty, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, walking back and forth. I mean, he might as well have been at the fair, one of those ducks, you know, that goes by and you shoot him. The Confederate found him, and he was going to blow his head off, but he couldn't pull the trigger, or the gun misfired, or it jammed. I don't really know what happened. But he couldn't shoot Ira Sankey. They met after the war. The man was still searching for some things, and he came to a meeting, and he said, I know that voice. Ira sang, and he said, I know that voice. And they spoke for a while, and he said, well, did you fight on the Union Army? And Ira said, yes. Were you in such and such a state at such and such a time at such and such a place, such and such a night? And Ira Sankey looked at him like, well, yes, I was, but I didn't think anybody else knew where he was. He said, well, I heard you singing, and I was going to blow your head off, and I couldn't. And, of course, Ira Sankey then said, well, have you met the Savior? And he said, no, and ever since you sang that song, I've been miserable trying to find out how to get to the Savior so he could lead me and be my shepherd. And he said, that's why I came to this meeting. And Ira Sankey led him to the Lord. But that song was a song of deliverance, and God used it to keep that soldier from blowing Ira Sankey's head off. And that other name on there, that's just a lady that said it happens in, well, that was the 20th century. That was a century before. But she said it happened to her neighbor. She sang a song, and it's too long to tell you. Maybe I'll fit it in somewhere else today. But her neighbor lady got saved because this gal, Sybil Streeper, her name is, was just simply singing while she was dusting her furniture on a Saturday morning and had no idea what was going on next door. But there was a man that said, I'm gonna kill my wife. I don't want to divorce her. That's wrong, so I'm going to kill her. But anyway, We need to move on or we won't finish. Number four, God gave us the gift of music that we might have victory in a world of defeat. The story in 2 Chronicles 20 is about King Jehoshaphat. He said, we don't know what to do. Well, he did know what to do. He was praying unto the Lord, and they got a message that the Lord would fight their battle for them. Stand still and see the salvation of God, they said. And God gave them the victory that day, destroyed all of their enemies. And God means for us to have the victory in life. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. People in this world are defeated all the time. We even meet Christians that seem to be defeated. They seem to be depressed. They seem to be discouraged. And that seems to be what the devil does worst on the saints in this age. But God meant for us to have victory. And they sang before the answer ever came in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 there. Let me show you something in Psalm 149. That's on the list there. But there's some marvelous verses. And this is not just for people who think of themselves as singers. This is for everyone who's saved. And I'm just going to begin with verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. It's good even for when you're getting up and when you're turning in the evening. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. And I might be able to say it like this. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Whoops, got it backwards there. Their high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. This is a, what would you say? A simple way to declare how we have victory. You sing a little bit, you preach a little bit, ladies, you teach a little bit, and go on rejoicing in the Lord. That's victory. Amen. The high praises of God and a two-edged sword. Amen. To execute vengeance upon the heathen, even if other people don't like it. Calls your singing vengeance. Think you got a bad voice? It doesn't matter. And punishments upon the people. That's what it says, doesn't it? To bind their kings with chains. It does some spiritual work. And their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. That's what someone said. So-and-so executed Beethoven. They probably did, you know, the way they played it. But this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. If you're saved, God's ordained that you should sing. As I said, it'll do some binding of spiritual wickedness. And it's a way to victory. Victory instead of defeat. Number five, it shows us that the gift of music is that we might have fellowship with God. We're to draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to us. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. As it says in James. But do you realize that singing is one of the ways to draw nigh to God? What does it say in Psalm 100? Come before his presence with singing. God's ears are open unto our prayers. You know, David learned that. He made his psalms his prayers, and his prayers were his psalms. He sang his prayers. And we know that God is listening to our prayers, so when we're singing, and that's what Ira Sankey was doing. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. He was praying. That's a prayer. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. Prayer. Prayer. In music. God gave us the gift of music to have fellowship with the Lord. Draw nigh to him. Boy, we could spend a long time there. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And that's the blessing of knowing the joyful sound. Finding that music of joy, not like what the world has. You can hear the anger in the sound of the music that the world makes. You can hear the sin in it, the uncleanness, the dirtiness, the vileness, the wickedness. Why would we want to use music that sounds like the world? We want to walk with God. This world fellowships with devils, don't they? Wicked things that they believe. We'll talk some more about that. What at the 6 o'clock hour, what my generation, your parents' generation, all knew about rock and roll that seems to be forgotten. But number six, God gave us the gift of music that we might be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I had one preacher, he was discussing the issue with me, but he said, no, people that are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, Christians that are Spirit-filled, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But I thought about it, and I thought, no, it's more than that. It's more than that. But Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And verse 18 says that this is something we do to be filled with the Spirit of God. And it looks like in this verse that if we want to be filled with the Spirit of God, we go ahead and sing. And sure enough, I found that story in 2 Chronicles 5 about Solomon dedicating the temple. And first of all, they had the singers sing. And when they sang and made a voice as one to thank and praise the Lord, then the glory of God filled the temple. And the priests were so overcome, they didn't even know what to do next. That's the way our singing ought to be. We ought to be so overjoyed in the Lord that we end up being filled with the Spirit of God. The singing comes first, and then the filling follows. And that's one of the ways to be filled. Now, you say, well, how can it be that music will help you be filled with the Spirit of God if the music is full of Bible? If the music reflects the Bible, then it's going to work. End of any argument that someone said, Ira Sankey sang the gospel. That's what he said. He said, well, you can't get saved hearing a song. You can if there's Bible in it. We need to make sure what's in our music, and all of us can check up on that. If we study to show ourselves approved unto God, we'll know if the song is biblical or not. And if the sound of the song gets in the way, well, maybe we'll talk about that tonight. There's a lot of unholy music, a lot of unholy spirits in this world. But let's move on. God gave us the gift of music that we might teach the truth with it. That's what we started talking about. Fill our songs with Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But what comes first? The Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then we line up our songs with the Bible. Musicians do this. Well, I like that song. People do that. Well, I just like that song. Well, is it any good? Is there Bible to it? I had to learn to put the Bible first. I'm a sound junkie. I love musical sounds, but some of them just really don't fit. I don't like that Sorcerer's Apprentice classical piece much anymore because it's about witchcraft. I used to listen to it as a kid all the time, never thinking once or twice about how evil that might be to spread that kind of thinking. Well, we need to move on or we won't finish. This world is filled with devil's lies. I'm glad for the truth of the Word of God. And there's many such verses there to support what I'm saying. I'm glad that the Bible has much to say about music. But number eight, God gave us good music that it might help us when we're dealing with others. In Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, we read that the Lord has done what? Put a new song in our mouth. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I call that the soul-winning singer's promise. That if we'd sing the gospel like Ira Sankey did and so many others, that people would be made to have the fear of God. And they'd put their trust in the Lord. He said, well, you mostly sing in front of Christians. Well, we all need to trust the Lord more. Oh, for grace to trust Him more, we sing. But even so, it's a wonderful promise. That if we're bold enough to sing, it'll cause people to have the fear of God. Well, if they're not ashamed of Jesus, I shouldn't be ashamed of Jesus. If they're willing to admit they're a sinner, I should admit that I'm a sinner. If they said they repented of their sins and sang about it, then I ought to do the same. Many shall see it. It ought to be in our life too. And fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Number 9 then. God gave us the gift of music to help us be a good soldier. I'm going to read a verse from 2 Timothy and translate it into musical terms. And you take it for whatever it's worth. I don't believe I'm twisting it out of context. It says in these verses, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I want to please the Lord. He loves me. He died for me. He rescued me from a life of sin. I want to honor him. And if I turn verse 4 into a music verse, it reads like this. No man that warreth. You want to be a good soldier? You want to fight for the Lord? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the music of this world. Am I stretching it? I don't believe so. The affairs of this life, the music of this world, just get away from it. Get loose from it. I couldn't win a soul to Christ until I shook myself loose from a world and a life of rock and roll. And God gave me the strength to do it. But I was powerless to do anything. Powerless to war, powerless to fight, while I was busy with rock and roll. I met a couple boys that argued with the message I brought. And I finally said, "Look, you're not going to be convinced. I preached for an hour and 45 minutes and..." And I said, "How long have you been saved?" One said 8 years. The other one said 9 years. I said, "Have you ever led a friend of yours to Jesus Christ?" And they both hung their heads and said, "No." I said, "Maybe you ought to consider what I said. Rock and roll's got you wrapped up already, and you're not serving God, and you can't." Music to help us be a good soldier. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Number 10, God gave us the gift of music that we might glorify him. In Psalm 18, David said, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised." Jesus Christ is worthy. It isn't a matter of how I feel ever. Well, we'll praise the Lord. We'll serve the Lord. We'll witness if we feel okay about everything. If everything's going right. He's always worthy to be praised, and so we should always be willing to praise him. You can spend your life on a lot of things, but Jesus Christ is the only one who's worth your life. Whatever my life and yours is worth, he is the only one worth spending your life on. You throw it away otherwise. And number 11, it used to be that I never preached this point, but God gave us good music just for enjoyment. I was afraid that people would twist it and turn it around. But we're to use this world and not abuse it. Make sure that your use of music is not an abuse, but the music you use, you can thank God for, because it's godly music. At thy right hand, in Psalm 16, it says, "Our pleasures evermore." Those are holy pleasures then. Music needs to be a holy pleasure. And I'm missing one of the references there. But we need to quit. You can look up the other one. God gave us good music, wholesome music, holy music to also just simply enjoy. Amen. And we should. Amen. That's just a little corner of the love of God and what he's done in giving us a good and perfect gift in music. Why would we turn to the music of this world? We have 450,000 hymns. We can't even learn them all. Not to mention the psalms and all the spiritual songs. May God help us to be filled with psalms and hymns and spiritual